Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Introduction. This book is intended to help you receive and experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We do a thorough study of this subject to help build your faith and clarify questions you may have on this topic. We trust that as you diligently review the content and then take the step of faith in prayer, you too will receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is to receive power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We are to be witnesses with power. This power causes healings, deliverances, miracles, signs, and wonders to be released through every believer. This book will help you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit so you too can be a witness for Jesus Christ with power. This is the start to an exciting journey. We encourage you to read two other companion books that will help you discover truth on the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, the wonderful benefits of speaking in tongues and gifts of the Spirit. Both these are available as free books from All People's Church. God graciously touched my life and brought me to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior just before I turned 13 years of age. During the following year, I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and have been speaking ever since. I started sharing about the Lord Jesus and about the baptism in the Holy Spirit with my friends, and many were saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of us just teenagers. Since that time, I've had the joy of seeing many receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You can do the same. You can use this book to share with other believers about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and lead them into receiving this wonderful endowment of power so that they can be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Chapter 1. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When John the Baptist introduced the ministry of Jesus, he announced that the Lord Jesus would baptize people with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Please note that the Greek for the word with is en, a primary preposition which can be translated to in, by, with, of, for, etc. So, we use the terms baptism with the Holy Spirit and baptism in the Holy Spirit interchangeably. John the Baptist announced that the Lord Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. The fire, as John describes, is to burn up the chaff. The chaff is used to represent what is ungodly, Psalm chapter 1, verse 4, and Psalm chapter 35, verse 5, and what is of the flesh, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. In the life of the believer, the fire burns up the chaff, burns up what is not of God and what is ungodly. What John the Baptist points to also refers to the final, eternal judgment of the ungodly, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and verse 15. So fire has a dual reference, both of the cleansing work done in the life of the believer and of the eternal judgment of the ungodly. Now, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we know that during his earthly ministry the Lord Jesus administered by the power of the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and verses 18 to 19, Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, and Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He also taught about the Holy Spirit, and he promised to send the promise of the Father to empower believers to do the same works that he did, John chapter 14, verse 12 and verse 26, John chapter 15, verse 26, and John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. Yet, during his earthly ministry, we do not see him baptizing anyone with the Holy Spirit. After his resurrection, he met with the disciples and breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verse 21 to 22. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This was the time the disciples were born again. We say this because when God breathed, he imparted life, something of himself, into man, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So in this case, they were born of the Spirit. Their spirits received life and they became new creation people. Although the Lord Jesus had commissioned his disciples to go just as the Father had sent him, and even though they were born again, the Lord Jesus instructed them to wait in Jerusalem for the baptism with the Holy Spirit to receive power from on high. Luke chapter 24, verses 48-49. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1, verses 4-5 and verse 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The word baptize means to dip, immerse, submerge, and to overwhelm. It has the idea of being fully covered, surrounded, and drowned. The purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit was to endue, or clothe believers with the power of God, so that they could be witnesses for Jesus to the ends of the earth. Chapter 2. The record in Acts. We now review in detail the five recorded instances in the book of Acts of individuals or groups of people receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We understand there would have been many more, but these have been recorded specifically for our learning and instruction. Let's review what the Holy Spirit has recorded for us and draw insight from these. The Day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the 120 disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, there were unusual happenings: a sound from heaven as of mighty wind blowing, tongues of fire coming on each of them, and all of them speaking in other tongues. Notice a few other things here. When they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 5, they were also filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were both clothed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that they spoke with other tongues, meaning it was their own voices coming through their own vocal organs. They did the speaking, not the Holy Spirit. Only the language was given to them by the Spirit. It was Harvest Festival. The Feast of Pentecost came 50 days after the Feast of the First Fruits. Jerusalem was crowded with people who had come to celebrate these feasts. The crowd of people who heard what was happening in the upper room had different reactions. Some were completely confused. Some were amazed and marveled. Some were amazed and perplexed. Others mocked and said these disciples were drunk. Acts chapter 2, verses 14-18. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy.'" The Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, quotes from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, verses 28-32, and explains that what was happening was a fulfillment of that prophecy. As a side note, We observe that Joel foretold the outpouring of the Spirit would be accompanied by prophecy, dreams, and visions. On the day of Pentecost, none of these happened; instead, there was sound, fire, and tongues. And yet, the Holy Spirit states through Peter that this is what was spoken, Acts chapter 2, verse 16, or this is that very same thing being fulfilled. The lesson here is that when the Holy Spirit moves, the manifestations may not always be the same. But it is still called the outpouring of the Spirit because it is the same Holy Spirit at work. 3,000 people were saved that day after Peter preached the sermon. When we preach under the anointing, we can expect such a great harvest of souls. This can happen again and again and again. Acts chapter 2, verse 38-39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." As part of his call to repentance, Peter informs the crowd that not only can they have their sins forgiven, but they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They can also receive what the 120 disciples had just received as a gift. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift. All we do is simply receive by faith. We do not earn the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another important truth Peter mentions is that the promise, or this message, is for your children, across generations, to all who are far off, across nations, and to as many as the Lord our God will call, across people groups and across time. Peter said that this promise is for as many as the Lord our God will call. Since God is calling people today, the promise of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit spoken of in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is still available for us today. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is for all believers throughout the church age. Believers at Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, the believers were scattered out of Jerusalem due to persecution into many neighboring villages, towns, and cities. Philip, who was serving at the church in Jerusalem, went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Many believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, including a man named Simon, who was a sorcerer and who had controlled many people through witchcraft. These new believers were baptized in water. Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 19. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized he continued with Philip, and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." It is interesting to note what the apostles in Jerusalem did when they heard that the people in Samaria had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and John came down specifically to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. It seems safe to infer that this became normal practice in the early church, to pray for new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, that is, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We can also infer that something supernatural happened when the apostles prayed for these new believers at Samaria, because Simon, who had been involved in the dark side of the supernatural, now offered them money to buy that same power. Although it is not stated in the scripture text, based on what took place in the earlier recorded instance on the day of Pentecost, we are safe to infer that the believers in Samaria also started to speak in other tongues when they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. This was the supernatural phenomena that startled Simon, a former sorcerer. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Our next recorded instance in Acts of someone being prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit is that of Saul, who later became the great apostle Paul. Saul had a powerful encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. He was blinded, and for 3 days, he remained that way, fasting, praying, and waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus instructed a disciple named Ananias to go pray for Saul so that he would receive his sight. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 18. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Ananias, after some initial reluctance, went and prayed for Saul, to not only receive his sight, but to also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul was a believer in Jesus Christ, 3 days old, in the Lord. He had a great call on his life, as we can see, from what the Lord Jesus told Ananias. And yet, he was prayed over to receive the Holy Spirit. Once again, this adds up to our understanding that in the early church, it was normal to pray for new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. While no specific mention is made in Acts chapter 9 about Saul speaking in tongues or manifesting any supernatural phenomena, we know that Saul, who later became Paul, prayed in tongues a lot. He wrote to the Corinthians, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. We also know that Paul manifested all the gifts of the Spirit and taught other believers about these, because he is the one who wrote 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. Cornelius and his household. The fourth recorded instance of someone being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is that of Cornelius and his household. The Apostle Peter had been divinely instructed to go to meet Cornelius, where he preached about Jesus Christ. This was the first time the gospel was preached to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. As Peter preached Christ to these people, they believed the message, and God immediately poured out his Spirit upon them. These people spoke in tongues and magnified God. Acts chapter 11, verses 15 to 18. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Once back in Jerusalem, Peter recapped the happenings at Cornelius' home, and he clearly stated that this was the same as the baptism of the Holy Spirit that the 120 disciples received on the day of Pentecost. Hence, we have another instance where after people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost. Believers at Ephesus. The last recorded instance of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit is in Acts chapter 19, at Ephesus. Here the Apostle Paul met some people who had been baptized in water by John the Baptist. These people were not aware of what had happened since the ministry of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. It is interesting to consider Paul's opening question, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Acts chapter 19, verse 2. It once again indicates that it was normal to expect new believers to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, once they believed in Jesus Christ, just the way Paul prayed for these people in Acts chapter 19. Paul preached to them about Jesus Christ, baptized them in water, and then proceeded to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit, that is, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Once again, as before, we observe that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Spirit is accompanied by supernatural manifestations, praying in other tongues, and in this case, they also prophesied. Summary of the five recorded instances. In three out of the five recorded instances, the people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues. In the other two instances, in Samaria, we infer that something supernatural happened, and then in the case of Saul, we know he did speak with tongues. So, it is safe to state that in all five recorded instances something supernatural happened, and that in four out of the five we can state conclusively that they spoke in tongues, when baptized in the Holy Spirit. In three of the five cases they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and later baptized in water. In two out of the five, that is at Samaria and at Ephesus, they were baptized in water and then later baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, it is safe to state that God will work either way, and there are no set steps in this process. The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to receive power to be a witness. The receiving of power is expressed through supernatural manifestations, that of speaking in tongues, which we know is a gift of the Spirit or a manifestation of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. So, we make some deductions here. When we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we receive both power and gifts. The Spirit of God endues or clothes the believer with power, and makes all nine of the gifts potentially available to the believer from this point on. Keep in mind that these are gifts of the Spirit, not gifts belonging to an individual. So, the Holy Spirit owns these gifts and works them through the believer. The believer must learn to work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit to properly manifest these gifts. The power we receive is expressed through a display of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, resulting in signs, wonders, miracles, healings, and the supernatural work of God. The first gift that is most seen is speaking in tongues. God does things on purpose. Hence, we infer that this gift of speaking in unknown tongues is a key that helps us flow in all the other gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 3. Common questions. In this chapter, we seek to answer some common questions that believers ask in relation to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Indwelling and baptism, what's the difference? When one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, one is born again. We are born of the Spirit. As Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 states, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. We are already a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God indwells or dwells within us. So, then why does a believer need to be prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some present their argument like this: the Holy Spirit does not come in parts, because He is a person. So, if you have Him, you have all of Him. While there are similarities between the spiritual and natural, there are also differences. Spiritual things are often different from the way we see things in the natural. It is true that in the natural, when you see a person physically, you see the person entirely. It is not that the person has left a part of himself physically at some other place. However, there is a huge difference when we consider the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, but unlike us, He is infinite. He can come and keep on coming because He is infinite. We can have more of Him because He is infinite, and there is no end to how much we can experience of Him in our lives. In Scripture, we see that there are different measures of the Holy Spirit. We see the Spirit on Moses being distributed to 70 other elders, Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 through 30. We see Joshua having a part of what Moses carried, the Spirit of wisdom, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. We see a double measure of the Spirit resting on Elisha, after Elijah had been taken up into heaven, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. John the Baptist declared that the Spirit was without measure on Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 34. The difference between the indwelling work of the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit in the life of a believer can be understood by looking at these two references. John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus spoke of a fountain. In John chapter 7, he spoke of a river. The fountain is within the believer, the river flows out of the believer. The fountain within brings eternal life for the believer. The river flowing out of the believer is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit made available to others through the believer. It is the same water, but different measures and different purposes. Hence, it is the same Spirit at work, but there is a difference in measure and purpose. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Sometimes people use 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 to state that we have all been baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is one baptism that saves, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, but many baptisms which the believer must be taught about and which the believer experiences, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. The one baptism which saves is the baptism into one body, referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ's body. This happens at salvation. Then there is water baptism, where we are baptized in water. We are baptized by another believer in water. The believer administers water baptism in the name of Jesus, that is, by the authority of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Water baptism is primarily a declaration of our choosing to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and our identification with His name. Water baptism happens any time after salvation. There is also the Holy Spirit baptism. We are baptized by Jesus in the Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 8. This baptism is for power and purification. Holy Spirit baptism, which is the topic of this book, happens any time after salvation or could also happen at the time of salvation, as in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. So, in these three baptisms, we see the difference on who does the baptizing, into what we are baptized, and the purpose of the baptism. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 refers to being baptized into the body of Christ and is different from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why tongues? It is quite interesting to think that God would design a gift of the Spirit like speaking in unknown tongues, where we by the Spirit speak in tongues of men and of angels, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And it is also interesting to consider that God would use this as the first gift being expressed through the believer upon receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why would God do this? For many, speaking in other tongues sounds offensive to the rational mind. But this is the very reason why we need to embrace speaking in other tongues. We trust God. We trust His wisdom. We trust Him beyond our own understanding. So we simply embrace the way in which He works and go with it. Manifesting all the other gifts requires similar faith and a willingness to step out of our own understanding, trusting Him. This is when His power is displayed through the gifts. Is speaking in tongues the evidence of Holy Spirit baptism? For more information on the benefits of speaking in tongues, please see the free APC book, The Wonderful Benefits of Speaking in Tongues, available as a free download at apcwo.org/books. Going by the five recorded instances in the book of Acts, the answer to this question is yes. People spoke in tongues when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. This was normal and what was expected. On the other hand, we know that there are nine gifts of the Spirit. So, a common question that is proposed is, what if the Holy Spirit chooses to manifest any of the other gifts, other than speaking with tongues, when a believer is baptized with the Spirit? We remain completely open to this and understand that this is possible. Is it possible for a believer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, manifest other gifts of the Spirit without speaking in tongues? Certainly, yes. However, since our goal is to see the believer activated and flowing in all nine gifts of the Spirit, we always encourage believers to desire and to expect to speak with other tongues when they pray to receive Holy Spirit baptism. And sooner or later, they do start speaking in other tongues. And we do not stop there. We encourage them to earnestly desire to flow in all nine of the gifts of the Spirit. We can encourage all believers to speak with other tongues, because the Lord Jesus stated all believers would do so in Mark chapter 16, verses 17-18, and these signs will follow those who believe, in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Do I have to tarry to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? No. We do not need to tarry. Yes, we must pray with faith and expectation. But we do not need to tarry several days. The only reason the first 120 disciples had to tarry in Jerusalem was to wait for the day of Pentecost, because God had determined to pour out His Spirit on this day. In subsequent instances, we see that people were prayed for and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit during the time of prayer. Do I need to have hands laid on me to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Not necessarily. Remember, it is the Lord Jesus who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. So, He can use someone else to pray with you, or He can do this for you without someone else laying hands on you and praying with you. You can personally pray and receive by faith, without anyone praying for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost and at Cornelius' home, the Holy Spirit fell upon the people, without anyone laying hands on them. Do I need to be baptized in water before I can pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Not necessarily. As we have already seen in the case of Saul and in the house of Cornelius, people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit first, and later were baptized in water. In the case of the believers in Samaria and at Ephesus, they were baptized in water first, and then later baptized in the Spirit. So, God can work either way. Does tongues always have to be understood? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we know that people heard the wonderful works of God being spoken in languages they were familiar with. This does not exclude the possibility that of the 120 believers who were baptized in the Holy Spirit that day, some of them could have spoken in other tongues that were not understood, which could have included earthly and heavenly languages. It is wrong to say that all 120 spoke only in the languages of the people present. What the scriptures state is that the people present each heard things in their language. Hence, this would not exclude the possibility of other unknown languages being used when the 120 spoke with other tongues. Acts chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." The scriptures do not conclusively state that in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19, when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of them spoke in languages that were understood by those present. On the other hand, the scriptures clearly teach that when we speak in tongues, we could speak in languages of humans and of angels, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This would therefore definitely imply that we could speak in languages that no one would understand. Hence, the Apostle Paul states clearly that when he speaks in tongues, no one understands him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." We must understand that there are a variety of uses of speaking or praying in tongues as seen in Scripture. These include 1. Tongues for personal prayer, intercession, and edification. This is the most common use of speaking in tongues, where the believer speaks or prays in tongues, resulting in the edification of the inner man, communicates directly with God, and intercedes for others, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2 and verse 4 and Romans chapter 8, verses 26-27. 2. Tongues for interpretation. This is when in a gathering a believer is led to give a message in tongues followed by interpretation, so that all present can understand and be edified, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 5 and 13. 3. Tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. This is where the believer is enabled by the Spirit to speak in a language understood by the unbelievers present, resulting in them hearing the truth about the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, and Acts chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. So, the answer to this question is, no, tongues do not always have to be understood. Chapter 4. Instructions and prayer to receive. Receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a pure work of God. We cannot manufacture it or force people into this. What we can do is to teach people what the Word of God has to say, share some practical instructions, and then pray. God is always faithful to His Word and will baptize His people. He pours of His Spirit on those who are thirsty, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, so look to Him. The Bible says that Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. So, one does not need a pastor or a man of God to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can just ask Jesus to baptize us, to pour out His Holy Spirit on us. As He pours out His Spirit, heavenly languages will come forth. This is what happened in the book of Acts, Every time people received the gift of the Holy Spirit, something supernatural happened. They began to worship God in tongues. You are a believer and you can speak with other tongues. Remember, as a believer, you can speak with other tongues. The Lord Jesus said you can in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe: in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Take a step of faith. We receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and simple faith is all that is needed for you to receive the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Reject all fear. Don't have any fear that you will receive some other Spirit. When you pray and ask the Lord Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that is exactly what will happen. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Relax, you are not trying to convince God to do something. You don't have to beg God, twist his hand, tarry for long hours, plead, cry, shed many tears to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is ready to fulfill his promise in your life. Just ask and receive by faith. All you must have is sincere desire, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." In a few minutes from now, as you pray, believe that you receive what you ask at the moment of your asking. The Holy Spirit gives the language, but you must speak. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." After you pray the prayer given below, open your mouth and speak out whatever comes. It will be your voice and your vocal organs at work. The Holy Spirit will not speak. You must do the speaking. He only provides the language. A language is made up of sounds. Remember, speaking in a language simply involves making sounds. When these sounds are intelligible and follow a certain sequence, others get the meaning of what you are saying in that language. In tongues we speak in languages of men or of angels. So, the Holy Spirit gives the language, that is, prompts or inspires the sounds, and you must express the sounds using your vocal organs. Since these sounds are in a language you have not learned, your mind will not understand these sounds. You may initially feel like making some strange sounds. These are words or sounds in an unknown language. Go ahead and give voice to it. As you step out in faith, more words will begin to flow. Only one language at a time. Remember, you cannot speak two languages at the same time. So do not attempt to speak anything in your own known language. Don't try repeating "Praise the Lord" or "Hallelujah" very fast. There is no need to do so. These will hinder the flow of the language which the Spirit desires to release. Instead, having prayed the prayer, just take the step of faith and speak in new tongues. Jesus said you would, so you can. God understands the mind of the Spirit in all languages. God, who looks into your heart, understands what the Holy Spirit is releasing through you. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Don't worry about the fact that you do not understand what you are speaking. The Apostle Paul did tell us that when we pray in the Spirit, our spirit is praying enabled by the Holy Spirit, and our understanding is not put to work. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. God understands what the Holy Spirit is releasing through you, and this is all that matters. Prayer. Here is a simple prayer to help you ask and receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Then step out in faith and speak in the languages the Holy Spirit gives you. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a believer. I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit so that I can receive power to be a witness for you. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name, please pour out your Spirit on me as you promised you would do in the last days. By faith I now receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now upon me and all His gifts are resident within me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because I am a believer, I now speak with new tongues as the Spirit gives me the ability. I expect the flow of all other gifts of the Spirit through my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we encourage you to learn more about all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that you can learn how to yield to the Spirit to manifest all His gifts. You can serve and minister to people through these gifts. You will be a witness with power. Jesus Christ will be glorified. Chapter 5. Filled, anointed, and walking in the Spirit. There are different words or expressions we see in the New Testament in relation to the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We will present concise comments on some of these to help maintain clarity on terminology that we may use. Please note that this is not a complete explanation of all such terms. We will have to leave that for another book. The experience that the 120 had in the upper room was referred to as the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. We note that they were also filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Again, in Samaria the apostles prayed for the Holy Spirit to fall upon the believers and they received the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. Similarly, we know that the people gathered in Cornelius' home as Peter preached were also baptized in the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 11, verses 15 to 17. The Holy Spirit fell upon and was poured out upon them, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 45. So, when believers are baptized in the Holy Spirit, at that time they are also filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit falls upon them and is poured out upon them. All these expressions are valid when referring to what happens when a believer is baptized in the Holy Spirit. One baptism, many fillings. What we notice through the book of Acts is that the same believers who were baptized in the Holy Spirit are reported as being repeatedly filled with the Spirit or as being full of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, writing in his epistles to Spirit-baptized or Spirit-filled believers, instructs them to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to live in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and verses 22-25. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are filled and anointed at that moment. Being filled with the Spirit speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit within the believers, affecting how each of us live. It has to do with our walk, our conduct. Being anointed has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit empowering us for ministry, affecting our work. So, the baptism in the Holy Spirit results in a filling and anointing. To be baptized is to be filled and to be anointed, and yet we see that both these are to be kept active in a sense. Filled and walking and living in the Spirit. As we see, from the scriptures given above, although we are filled when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we need to stay filled or stay full of the Spirit. We need to be filled continuously, again and again and again. This is because of the constant conflict between the flesh and the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. If I let the flesh take the upper hand, then I am less full of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit's influence over me has waned or diminished to that extent. But if I stay full of the Spirit, the flesh is kept under subjection. When we live filled with the Spirit, we are doing what the Apostle Paul says when he teaches us to walk in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, or live in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. The person filled with the Spirit will also walk in wisdom, faith, thankfulness, singing to the Lord, walking in submission, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23, and overcoming the sinful desires of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and verse 24. To be filled with the Spirit, we need to keep our hearts clean and free. Confess sin and receive His cleansing immediately according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 9. Release forgiveness as soon as you feel offended. Invite the Spirit of God to fill you. Yield all of yourself to Him. Welcome Him. Stay in communion with Him. This helps us stay actively filled with the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit. Anointed. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are also anointed by the Spirit. To be anointed is to have the Spirit upon us, empowering us to do what God wants done through us, Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 19 and Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We are anointed all the time, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, positionally in Christ. Yet since we are not doing the works all the time, the anointing is not active all the time. Whenever the Holy Spirit moves upon us, releasing His power to do the work He wants us to do, at that time, there is an anointing for everything God wants you to do. We say we are anointed, the anointing is active. The anointing is the power of the Spirit being manifested through a believer. There are times when the Holy Spirit initiates this. He moves on us and then we start doing the work. There are times we start the work and the anointing begins to flow or operate. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are channels or tools through which the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested to minister to people. There are varying levels of anointing. There are times we can be more anointed than at other times. The degree of power that is manifested is in proportion to the anointing that is present and active at that moment. We are to be filled with the Spirit continuously. Also, we are to move under the anointing every time we minister or do the work God has called us to do. Therefore, in this sense, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is both initiatory and repeatable. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit once, but filled and anointed over and over, countless times again. The anointing upon and the anointing within. Note, we should not confuse the anointing upon and the anointing within. The anointing upon is the Spirit upon us empowering us for ministry. The anointing within is the Spirit within us carrying out His indwelling work in us and transforming us into Christlikeness. Hence 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27 refers to the work of the Spirit within the believer, that is, the anointing within. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.